Well, yeah, tell her we said hi.
Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, September 26, 2017. It is 2 p.m. This is the Josephine County Board of Commissioners convening for a legal counsel update. Commissioner DeYoung is here. Commissioner Morgan is walking in with the contingent.
I have to peek off of your agenda today, Commissioner.
First item on the agenda is Title III SRS 2014 Project Applications, 2017 through 18 Approved Projects O'Hare. He's going to bring us an update on this, having been gone to the school of Rocky McVay. And then item number two is Cannabis Advisory Panel Bylaws. Item number three is Letter from Attorney Ransom, Response to County's 9717 letter regarding Paradise Ranch Resort Rogue River Mortgage Surety and Washington Federal. Number four, Assistant County Counsel 1 and 2 job descriptions. I think that's morphing the library position. And then number five is Library District Liaison. Number six, Matters from Commissioners. And then we'll go into executive session. And we've got a couple of items that I'll read and list when we get to that point. So Title III, go ahead.
Title III, so what I'm doing is out of an abundance of caution. The federal rules require us to obligate all Title III monies by September 2017. They don't have to be dispersed, but they have to be obligated. And so I have had some conversations with Rocky McVay, who is the Association of ONC, or have been...
You got it?
Yeah, okay.
Connecticut County's Executive Director.
Executive Director. And while he agrees that the budget process provides a basis for and justification for allocation of the funds, my abundance of caution says let's go through the same process that we've traditionally, historically, have gone through as far as showing that these funds are obligated to these programs. So what I prepared are the standard project application forms. One for FireWise, one for Community Wildfire Protection Plan that obligates, fully obligates 100% of the remaining funds that in the Title III fund. And this doesn't necessarily mean we can't move funds between the projects. We can. We just have to have them obligated. I did also talk with Sarah Rubrick, who is the Emergency Services Manager, and who is filling in for Jenny Hall. And so these two requests and the allocation of funds are based on her input of saying, this is what I see us requiring over the next 5 years for both FireWise and Community Wildfire. So with that, I would like the board to simply approve the allocation of these funds. The budget's already been done. The budget's already been approved. But this
and the budget reflects those allocations, or is it different?
The budget is a little bit different. It gave more money to Community Wildfire than what Sarah feels is necessary.
Sure.
So
that project's winding down, but we didn't know it was going to. Mm-hmm. History told us it may not have been, but the reality is that we've signed that CWPP and. Looking at, so Congress is also another nuance to this. I have a meeting in an hour, a parks meeting, so I'm going to try to move through this real quick. Congress is likely to look at releasing some of the restrictions on Title II funds, Title III funds, excuse mm-hmm. me. And so do what we do now, but it may not be as constrained. And I'm not in any hurry to spend it because if they do reverse some of the controls that they've put on it in recent years, then we want that available to do the projects that we need to do, which we can't fund right now. So,
and currently, these are really the only two projects that are qualified. Available or funded under yeah. Title III. And like I said, based on Sarah's input, this is a five-year plan. So what I'm obligating to these programs is really scheduled to be spent over the next 5 years.
Right.
So. Now, can they spend it any time up to the 5 years, or
correct.
Is it allocated by... 100 and a nickel, you know, 100 and buck and a quarter every year?
No.
Or can you take all 536,000 and put it in the first year if you need it?
Technically, yeah, you could.
Okay, but you wouldn't have any for the other remaining four?
Correct. Once it's spent, it's gone. We're not going to have any more. And I could take part of that 536 and throw it towards Community Wildfire Protection Plans. Those are the two plans that have been approved. And and
there's a 45-day at least vetting process and such. We don't have that to approve new plans, new proposals. So we just need to obligate these funds to these two programs that are already provided for, and then how they're spent over the duration of time.
That can change along those lines, yes.
So are you looking for a motion or just...
I'm looking for you, under the historical, the board has typically just signed this. It hasn't, to my recollection, it doesn't necessarily go to weekly business.
It's not it's an simply, order, right?
Yeah.
We would, I think, if we were doing it for new funds and new
if
programs.
If it was brand new, but there's public hearings and type things. But
so I guess this is consensus without objection. The will of the board is to continue the Title III appropriations and obligate those funds to those two programs.
I appreciate that.
Great. Item number two is
cannabis. I wish we had something more exciting to spend them on. But
I know. We used to. Yeah. We used to do good stuff with that money, but Rosemary and I, 4 or 5 years ago, were involved in a GA, Government Accounting Office audit, where they sent people out from D.C., and we had extensive. We did fine. Other counties not so well, and how they spent their money, and so the restrictions were put in place. Item number two is cannabis advisory panel bylaws. I think one of the elements of the bylaws conversation, and I'm going to turn it over to Commissioner Morgan, is the just the title. So figuring out what that, it's CAC has a conflict with another CAC acronym, although the intent of the board previously was to just have it as a committee like every other advisory committee. You had mentioned panel as an option. I think I mentioned task force.
Mm-hmm. And so either would work.
You didn't like the acronym that came out from task force.
No, CAT. It's fine.
Okay.
CAT or CAP. It might come up with panel before task force. My concern with task force is usually they complete a task, they're done. And is this something that we just see this as a task for now, or is culture and economic development an ongoing thing that we're going to be discussing with them? So I didn't know if it was too limiting on definition. And board, that was why we were changing it from a board. Okay, so committee, put it in the same acronym as the William CAC. Mm-hmm. I had a concern about that. So I said, well, a board, but that means they're a decision-making body per definition. So it's like, okay, that won't work. So look for synonyms, and panel was a synonym, task force, all that are options. So part of this was just, yes, they're a committee, but what are we going to call them for the sake of having a simple acronym that doesn't conflict with other ones? I know that's silly, but what you name somebody means something.
I haven't heard from you on this issue, Commissioner Dion.
What's that?
What do you
see this? That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, I recognize the problem with CAC because that's going to get tangled up with somebody who says, well, yeah, you're just a spinoff of Williams, huh? And we don't want that. We don't want to have a connection to anybody.
The challenge for me with the panel, I think Cheryl can probably, I've been on half a dozen panels. Panels are speaking engagements where a group of people are brought together on a particular issue to address that thing.
They don't have a
and
life,
after the meeting's done,
there's
no panel left. You know, it's not a reoccurring thing. I have been on, you know, the governor's task force for ONC lands. If Governor Kitzhaber were still in office, that task force would still be in operations until we proposed a plan and it was dealt with. And so, to that degree, a task force is more accurate of a reflection, but I don't want to get mired down. We've got, you know, 52 minutes in this.
I'm okay.
Whatever Commissioner Morgan wants is fine with me.
If task force isn't too limiting, maybe that makes more sense.
We were the gang of 14, 12, or whatever, how many ever people, but we were to work on the ONC issue, and we were not limited in scope or duration of time. It was at the behest of the governor. This is at the behest of the task force, of the board, and if we don't want to have it anymore, it's not there anymore. If the next board wants it to continue, it does. Cheryl, come on up. Aren't you on the schedule for something? What are your?
You're struggling with.
You're
me,
under
mercy flights.
But
oh, you're under executive session. Yes.
Marijuana advisory committee. That would just be a MAC. It's a name. Be really easy for people to remember, and it doesn't get confused with yours.
One of the things that, out of respect of the industry, they would rather have cannabis because they marijuana.
Yeah.
You know, they like cannabis.
That's
when
true.
You're in the room talking to them, and if you start,
yeah, people tell me they're offended by marijuana.
Yeah, they're offended by marijuana.
Marijuana, okay. To them,
it's more of a slang term as opposed
to
the
out of the take some out of the farming industry and put some into the drug industry.
But I like that's the real Mac. Interesting because you remember when it was all hemp and marijuana. They wanted to be marijuana. They didn't want anything to do with the hemp. But maybe you could just reverse it, you know, reverse the...
Should we call it the Hemp Advisory Committee and they could be a hack?
That was just reverse it, you know.
That was tongue-in-cheek, my apologies.
CAC designation, so...
Well, calling a committee is a lot easier than calling it a board, a panel, and a task force.
It
so
is
I
a
think
committee.
You're right.
What committee on cannabis?
Well, it's not like, you know, a committee like
no, thank you. That would not work.
That would not work.
I think it is exactly a task force. In my opinion, if I were to say what it is, it's a task force. It's addressing an issue.
Well, we need to come to perpetuity. So tonight you can tell them what their real name is, because we've bounced around about this.
Is there any other element of the bylaws that we need to address?
Yes. So the cultural impacts, just wanted to highlight. Mm-hmm. Where I got that definition was from a Department of Commerce description of the National Environmental Protection Act of 1969, which is where we see where I first found, and I think the earliest appearance of the term cultural impacts pops up, and also the most prevalent. Commissioner Morgan.
Oh, I'm sorry. They had two copies of the bylaws back to back, one with a red line, one without. I was looking for the red line.
Oh.
I'm seeing yours. I was seeing his.
By all means.
No, we're good. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
That's the whole point. So I didn't just kind of come up with that out of thin air.
No, that's great.
From the Department of Commerce, and then
no
I think
objection.
It hits the.
Moving on.
Hold on. Just that topic or
just
moving?
That element.
Okay.
What are there else? Anything else in there?
I clarified that the CAP is a public body, which should be abundantly clear that they must abide the laws pertaining to public bodies.
Did you guys talk about that first meeting? Public meeting?
Sounds like they did.
We did. The questions came out of it as far as when they need to disclose, and you said it's before a discussion.
Yes, yes.
So literally every meeting they're going to have to disclose a conflict of interest. Which just to me seems exactly.
Mm-hmm. They're not even a decision-making body, but it was the same situation that I didn't make a decision on the one issue. I didn't get to. It was the legislative body. So you're right, Councillor Hicks. If the principle applies, they need to every time.
Yeah, it's
What a ridiculous thing.
We're the least of their concerns is the issue. It's,
Who doesn't have one? I was thinking about it today. It's not the fact that I'm involved in a hemp company. It's the fact that my family owns EFU. That's the potential conflict of interest. It didn't even dawn on me, the fact, you know. So that's where it might be at. Not the hemp. There's no nexus of hemp in this conversation. But there is with the designations of zones being, you know, beneficiary or not. My family doesn't grow, but...
You guys corrected something under section. I do not mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead. I was just one time.
The Justman County Board of Commissioners shall assign one person employed by county ex officio office. Then section 4, term of membership, appointments may be limited to consecutive. Change to R. We didn't want it to be R. We specifically changed
My
that
bad.
To maybe.
I thought that was a mistake.
Because we changed it from being 4-year terms to 2-year terms. So we wanted the ability to keep somebody on if we needed to. So just that was an intentional change.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
That was oversight.
Just thought I'd give you a heads up.
How long do you expect this thing to go, this committee or panel or whatever you want to call it? How long do you expect them to be enforcing making recommendations to the board?
It's up to you.
As long as the board deems them needed. I mean, for every committee we have, except statutorily required, they serve at the need of the board, and so we, at any time we could unform them.
Should we say that somewhere?
Well, all members serve at the pleasure of the board.
It's like that LDAC, remember? That was the one that I can think of. It was a limited duration.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it started out that way. I think everyone knew when they got done with whatever they were doing.
After the recommendations were made, they never met again.
Right. And we...
Do you guys remember LDAC? It goes way back.
The name sounds familiar, but I don't remember it.
Any other issue we need to address?
I'm still stuck on the name.
Well, that's your job. So you just need to get it done before...
Tonight.
6 o'clock tonight. That's when your homework's due.
Task force? Panel.
I like panel because it's CAP. It's easy, but I don't know the legal.
there aren't
definition of panel versus task force. And, oh, no, panel only has this powers and task force has. Task force, to me, sounds like it's very, very pointed. You know, I'm going to do a task force to study one thing. This is pretty broad-based to me. Citizens Advisory, Cannabis Advisory Panel.
Excellent.
No problem with that. So it's up to you. Your committee.
So just for definition's sake, a panel is a small group of people brought together to discuss, investigate, or decide on a particular matter, especially in the context of business or government.
It's fine. Works.
Yep. Sounds like it fits to me. Counselor?
Sure.
Great. It's up to you guys.
And a task force is a unit specially organized for a task.
Doesn't need to weigh in on. Exactly. Doesn't want to. So item number three.
That's pretty limiting.
Is letter from.
One question.
Yes.
Are we going to do another board order to fix that? Because the order right now is for the advisory committee. You know, the order that formed the committee.
The name?
Yes. Because you can't really have bylaws for.
An organization you didn't form.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We've revised it once, but maybe do it at the same time.
Do it at the same time.
This. We could do one order, actually.
Just an amendment.
And adopt these at the same time.
Yep. Can we do that next Wednesday?
I think we can target next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Item number three is letter from attorney Ransom.
And so
response to County's 9717 letter regarding Paradise Ranch Resort Rogue River mortgage. Surety, Washington Federal.
Yeah. All right.
Are we waiting for somebody, or?
No, I was going to. Okay, so you're going to put that on for next Wednesday. Okay, thank you. Just wanted to clarify that.
I'll get your time.
Would you look at appointment of members? It says all members of the committee. Or we have committee. If we're going to be panel, we need to take committee out of a panel.
Oh, thank you.
On number three. All members of the committee shall be appointed.
Yeah. I'll do a search to see if there's any more.
Okay, Rogue River Mortgage, the letter should have gone to the board members,
mm-hmm.
and it did. So this letter has landed. This is basically my opportunity just to give you the letter, show you what their response was.
Remember, we get our mail in a packet. If I don't ever go look at the packet, I don't see the mail. So you could have got it, and I just didn't know.
It was in your group.
Yeah, it's in
it should have been in there.
It's in here.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, he's stating that they generally are going to object that they are going to come up with a more elaborate objection down the line, and they've proffered a public records request that we're working on and most of the way through it, actually working on it with IT, and that may even emerge tomorrow. And then I guess that's about it. Just wanted to give you the letter. So not much else to impart on this issue, unless there are particular questions, but that's been the development.
Well, I think
so to speak.
Talking about some sort of a response is something that's probably going to need to be provided for an executive session. So if we have any questions about where we're at right now, but otherwise, it's probably for a later date.
It probably is, and like I say, I anticipate that after this public records request gets fulfilled, they're going to come back with something more elaborate, and that's when we can bring
that sounds
the
good.
Discussion back up.
Right now, we're kind of in a holding pattern.
If they seek an audience with the board, and that would likely be
a question,
would there be any? Should I even ask
receptive?
At this point?
Oh, absolutely. Are we receptive
to
that?
What's that?
Are we receptive to having an audience with Rogue River Mortgage and their representative?
Well, I don't see a problem with that.
No.
Okay.
I think we've extended them multiple invitations to come in. Prior boards have to discuss what it is they're going to do, how they're going to move forward, what we can do to help.
Yes.
It's a reasonable request.
Yeah.
There's a long history of invitations.
Absolutely.
Extended, so. Okay, thank you. That's good guidance for me.
Item number four is Assistant County Counsel, one
yes.
and two job descriptions.
All right.
So the board might remember that they assigned to having a conversation of how to take advantage of what's not exactly an opportunity of Beecher leaving our law librarian and assistant to the legal's office. So were you there at that? You were not. You were not able to be there, Councilor Hicks.
Okay.
But we had JJ and Arthur and myself in the room, so it was kind of really hard to discuss the issue with while he got detained. He couldn't make it. But so we all came up with the idea that as it is right now, it probably couldn't be terribly improved upon unless he wanted to do something different, which he does. So where we were is not where we are. Where we are, he wants to do something different.
Thank you. Okay, so what we were hoping to get the board's approval on was to change the position, which is currently called law clerk, and does, of course, incorporate the responsibility for running the law library, change it to a position of Assistant County Legal Counsel 1, which is a position that the board had prior to Beecher's employment here as the law clerk. This will be a licensed attorney. And the person, my vision of the person's job would be to become the county's expert in land use and planning. This isn't someone we'd bring in as an expert, of course, but over time I think that would be an expertise that we would guide them toward. And I'd basically expect them to work about 20 hours a week toward land use and planning matters. And, of course, we're all familiar with the extent of legal work that goes along with that, so we'll have no trouble keeping them occupied. The other 20 hours a week, of course, would be keeping the law library open. And, of course, as the board might recall, 40% of this position is funded through state law library funds. And so there's, you know, that shared kind of role here. Anyway, JJ, do you have anything to weigh in on this?
Budgetarily, in the short term, the cost differential actually isn't that much between someone hired pretty low on the scale at a just higher range and the current position because he's at the top of the scale. Ultimately, the difference between a legal counsel 1 and legal counsel 2 is really the scope of work and then a good portion of what this lower position does that warrants the lower salary is research, paralegal stuff, and manning the library. So that's what necessitates the salary difference.
I'm just curious. So this was the position before Beecher, and we changed it, and then changing it back.
Oh, sorry. Yep, should have let you finish.
No, it's okay. I'm just.
It was never that position in the law library.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, if that's what you're. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, yep, no. This position existed prior to Beecher's arrival, and it hasn't really been used since then.
Okay.
Leah became a 2.
Is 1
so
or 2 higher?
2's higher.
Okay. Sometimes it is a higher number, but it doesn't always mean that way.
It tracks with the DAs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
DA 1, 2, 3.
So what was the previous one, law clerk?
Yes.
And that doesn't have to be a licensed attorney. Is that the difference?
Exactly.
Okay. Is there work that we can do that doesn't require a licensed attorney, or do we, I mean, I can see that we need a licensed attorney for, we can fill you guys' day 10 mm-hmm. times over. I mean, we could probably use a whole legal team. Mm-hmm. And just what I'm putting Leah through with public health, I know that mm-hmm. I got to try to maybe give her back a little bit because I'm taking a lot from her right now. And I'm not meaning to. I just, it's observations of time frame and how much we're utilizing your office kind of thing. But as far as the duties, I don't know when it needs to be an attorney versus a legal aide versus a clerk or a
paralegal.
Thank you. I knew there was another term I was trying to remember. So just was curious.
Yes, I would envision this role giving direct legal advice to the planning department and also representing the county in court. Both instances would require licensure from the Oregon State Bar.
Okay, so the law library doesn't require... is this a budget issue that we're trying to keep them still combined versus just have this legal counsel added to the department?
And keep a separate librarian position?
Correct.
Certainly budget is a serious concern.
I know budget is a serious concern. I just also know that with 1,000 pending complaints in community development and, you know, as far as getting those through being processed is usually through legal, the amount of effort would be probably more than 20 hours a week processing code violations. And we have been talking about, do we just enforce our current code versus adding more code? This is a precipice of being able to do that would be actually having somebody available to do that.
20 hours a week. This is what they'll do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I say, this would be an expert, which I don't claim to be, in land use law. You know, I'm more of a generalist.
So
on my best day.
Real quick. So. I'm not so sure we're going to settle this today as the exact structure, but I think this is great discourse, and we can probably settle it this week, maybe on Thursday.
Okay.
From my perspective, Councillor Hicks is absolutely right. you need somebody. We've been doing an okay job, but not great as far as how we process land use issues at Josephine County, and it's lacking. And so it wouldn't be coming, the full fiscal response ability would not be coming out of the ISF. What's the term I use? That planning is a
super user?
It's a super user. Yeah, thanks for, I'm not going to use that term. Way of translating what it is that I said. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's true, though. They are using an excess of what they're paying for.
Oh, yeah.
They're not paying for, like, everybody else is using legal services. They're dominating 30% of legal's time or whatever, from code enforcement to land use issues, of legal's time. And so they really need to be paying in a little bit different structure than the ISF. Otherwise, they're not going to get the same money. And I think we need to account for that. And so Julie's program is going to, the community development needs to do that. But I think we need to, this is a comprehensive kind of a shift in how we're doing legal here. It's providing more counsel, more resources there, and tweaking what we used to do just a little bit.
Just a note of internal structure, similarities to what you're looking here. Finance department has a grant accountant. At least half of what he does is specifically public health. So public health pay for it. Yeah. So this is a similar type of thing, only legal services instead of...
Yeah, just targets.
advantage, disadvantage of this structure versus our old structure. The old structure, the advantage is we need a lot of research and... you could pay a lower-level position to do that research. The advantage, however, is that research does not have the legal authorization to give legal advice, where this position will.
Yes. Well, to the county, not to the people in
Beecher. It came out of his office under your name. So you reviewed everything. So there's a balancing act between everybody needing to be a lawyer and everybody going under your advice, advice from your office, your signature.
Yes.
Whether you wrote it or not doesn't really matter. It's your signature. You reviewed it and said, this is legally defensible or whatever. Yeah.
Where the difference is that Beecher had a JD and had practiced law. Like, I couldn't step into that position and do that work that he did. Mm-hmm. And so you can't just say every paralegal can step into that position.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
No, but I think you can hire people with different skill sets and different backgrounds and such. I do think that we do need more help in your office. And matter of fact, it's something as a board we've talked about recently if we're going to be enforcing the code, we have to support legal to be able to process that ability to do that. So I'm not opposed to the position. I'm wondering if it's the best utilization of the one that's the clerk position, where we could probably use a full-time legal counsel one and trying to find... It's a discussion. I don't have the answer. Okay. I'm just saying that I think the workload justifies it.
So let's talk about this on Thursday.
We have 4 hours of planning that we can
offer. It's an administrative element that we have a little bit of time to digest and figure it out. So
Sounds good. I like the specialist side of it to where you get somebody that knows land use. All they need to worry about when they come to work is, what do I need to do with land use? Instead of shifting gears from... dogs, the cats, the cows.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One of the historic elements, as I understood, and I could be wrong because it's just inherited information, that Leah was kind of hired with that intent years ago, and that could be a misnomer. But I'm going to re-emphasize that maybe that was some of the intent behind why...
It was Leah's predecessor, actually.
Leah's position. I shouldn't use people... The position was created to try to shore up the difference.
But workloads change over time, too.
Sure.
And so that probably was the reason, but is it enough to suffice at this point? And so I think that's a good question is, does the clerk position have to be legal? We certainly need another legal, but do we have enough that we actually could use both?
One of the nice things about this new structure is the idea that planning can say, no, you're my guy, I'm paying for you, and you need to be doing blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Whereas right now, we did your 10% for your 7% on Monday, 2 o'clock. The rest of the week's going to be dedicated to all of our other clients. So.
And that's what you're thinking of that before. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Planning paid for a portion of that legal counsel, but that wasn't all that person did, but it was that they did all the planning.
Right on schedule to be halfway through. So library district liaison.
Yes, okay. Number of, we'll see you Thursday, huh?
So are we skipping this other one? This legal counsel two one that's in the folder?
Oh.
We're going to talk about
that is
on
Leah's.
Thursday?
That's Leah's.
Okay.
Oh.
Sorry, there was
another
two.
One?
Yeah.
Well, it's just
one was one and...
it would change Leah's a little bit to fix the one. Just show the difference.
Oh, it has, yeah.
She currently supervises the law clerk, so now she'd be supervising the assistant legal counsel one.
Okay.
That's principally the change.
Okay. Sorry.
Pay is the same.
I didn't see that. Thanks for catching it.
No worries. I'm just going through the packet here, and I'm okay with that, regardless of what we end up with.
Okay. Great.
Commissioner DeYoung, you're the liaison to the library district right now, right?
I think, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's great, because we got lots of work. We've been getting peppered with questions from citizens associated with the library district. And, for example, Pat Fahey has requested and been given a meeting on Friday with myself and Connie and Eve, and Pat's going to be there. And so as, you know, people keep approaching the county asking about transition issues related to the library district, we were thinking a liaison would be an appropriate person to be directing them to, coordinating all of that.
We had a question on the radio this morning.
No.
No.
A
question
on the radio
about annexation.
Somebody's got to take it.
Do you want it, or do you need someone else to take it, or are you good?
I'm not on my wheelhouse. You want
to
do it?
If you want me to, I will. But if you don't...
Well, I think I would like to take it. There's just history that you guys may not... And we need to move through this.
We need to point it in the right direction.
And you don't need to know everything about everything, because you're only going to need to know it for 3 more months, and then we're done.
Well, and that...
We're going to own the property,
yeah,
and that's it. So don't...
Okay.
Don't go...
Why don't you steer the ship through these waters?
I'm happy to do it.
Because I just talked to the clerk at lunch over the question we got on the radio today, and she said, oh, no, the board is who decides who stays in the district or not. And
yeah.
I said, well, that's...
I don't think that people have... I didn't think people had the option to just get out of the district as they want after 2 years, but they could be. But that's a question for the district.
Well, and the district had told me... The question had came up, and it was from the district that I was told.
Yeah.
That after 2 years, you can opt out. You have to buy yourself out. There's a determination of, and there's a form to petition to get out of a district, and they have forms already that they've said.
I'm sure they're probably...
This is why there's just like...
But again, why the answer is...
Than every other district.
But see, here's the thing. Yes. The clerk said, we're the ones that make the decision for fire agencies or fire districts to get out. My answer had come from a library board person, and so
rely on those.
But they're getting their information from us, by the way.
If it's right, so. but the silly game of telephone says leave out a nuance.
It's like,
and
this is
it's right.
Right.
Except I think they're getting the idea for buying out of the district from the Grants Pass Irrigation District. Because you can buy out of the Grants Pass Irrigation
District. Well, because of bonding, I think, is what drives it. Anyway, and it's far easier, by the way, for when they call us and legal, you know, if you ask us a question, hey, everything we know, you're going to know. But us, you know, they're not part of the county.
I have is that you're meeting with one member. Is he on the board or
he's
not?
He's not even in the district.
See, you guys are making a decision that I don't support.
Okay.
Because if you're going to say yes to Pat, and I really like Pat, I mean, he was on our budget committee, good guy.
He's using resources.
You need to say yes to every single other person, board or otherwise, who requests the same style of meeting.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you are going to be showing favoritism, and you really shouldn't be doing that. Mm. So I don't like the idea that these programs are getting together for, you know, unless you're working on a project of a package that says, well, this is what everybody else is going to want to know, because he just asked these questions.
No.
Everybody else is going to ask these questions, and here's the one pager that says, this is what you do with the newly created fire library district.
And that's what I'm working on, but I'm not working on it immediately because we were told last week, let's try to get this stuff done by the end of the calendar year, and that's what our focus is right now.
Yeah.
But certain people want to move faster.
So apparently, I was told there was some letter or memo that went out last week about the library district, and that's what's kind of stirring the response of everybody.
Last week or week before?
Last week.
Last week, even. This is so fast it's coming.
Last week.
Board discussed a few issues related to the library district. And even after that meeting, a new one came in, the question about annexation. I think that's what Mr. Fahey wants to meet about. And so I sent a letter and said, well, I didn't say the board, of course, had discussed that topic. I said, but consistent with the board's general approach.
Annexation was in there.
Yeah, I said, now you're asking about annexation. So consistent with the board's general approach to the other questions you've asked the county, I think we'll just save that for the end of the year as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of thing a liaison would have, I think, just been able to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to go around. Well, I haven't really talked to the board about annexation. I'm not really excited to do it because they got better things. Anyway,
we're not there yet.
Not there yet.
I want to get the other stuff done. I mean, well, there's so much, and we're going to talk about the other thing.
And what's precedence for dealing with special districts versus do the districts as an elected body handle themselves and all that other kind of stuff? So those are questions we can handle another day. But
this is the cumulative effect that I get with the construction excise tax, and not to beat a dead horse, but you know, we just take on so much for these other districts and people who just say, well, we just want you to do it.
The Board of Commissioners does have...
Oh, I know.
You have to do it.
I know. So, that's what I mean.
It's, so our approach is,
and they don't pay for
this. That's true. But we have talked about this, that we would rather see it done the way that, you know, we think it should be shepherded through rather than have them piecemeal...
Yep.
Something that could come in where they don't have it all there. And so what I'm working on, we already do have a form. I was working with Wendy on it just this week for the fire district, and our thought is we're going to use the same form,
right,
but we're going to put just together an instruction sheet that says this is what the things that you need to do and how you work with the county departments.
Okay.
And we already have that instruction sheet for starting a district.
Great.
So
item number.
We'll
discuss. We got a library district liaison. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. We'll get you up to speed on the rest of it.
Okay, so I move that Simon become the liaison for the library district.
Do you want to go to the meeting then?
No, I won't be here on Friday. I'm not so sure you're going to have a meeting on Friday. If it were up to me, I'd say no. We've got other things that are a priority. And so, item number 6, matter from commissioners. I have only one, if you guys have anything. I've talked to Kate Dwyer in the Illinois Valley about convening an ad hoc from a property management, kind of reinvest those resources from the Cave Junction building back in the Illinois Valley. It's an ad hoc committee or panel or task force to just make a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners on how we'd like to spend those monies. It's just a recommendation. She's got really good names from the mayor and other people, Cameron Camp. I thought the list was really good, Kenny Houck and some others. And so I'm going to think about putting together a meeting in the very near term so that we don't just let this issue languish, that we've got recommendations on how to best serve the Illinois Valley with reinvesting those dollars. I have talked to Arthur and Ryan about saying, you know, the last money that we put in 2 years ago was about $30,000 in that heating and air conditioning system. And that was out of property reserve. And we didn't depreciate that capital investment over time and recoup our cost for that. So I kind of think that that's one of my recommendations to start with, is we pay back our building reserve fund on that capital investment or depreciate it at some point.
Well, make sure something's really clear, because they're going to know how much money we got for it.
$340.
Just make sure that by the time, because
it's all accounted for.
We went through this with the city, that you're going to sell the property out here on out by the hospital. Started out here, by the time the city started just subtracting everything that they wanted to subtract, and they were going to pay back the River Road Reserve, whatever was left over, they made a payment to River Road Reserve. Started out at $1.3 million, and their payment to River Road Reserve, $6,200. So I've already had a taste of this.
Yeah.
And so when we continue to say, we got to get paid back for this, we got to get paid back for that, it's almost like OLCC saying about tax money on cannabis. Everybody knows what they got for cannabis. They go, well, no, but we got to pay back. OLCC did this, and OLCC, and before you know it, you're 5 years into the program, and no money's been distributed because you're busy paying back the cost of starting.
The company's store, you never get ahead.
So just make
that's
sure.
The only expense that I can think of.
Okay.
So, and I, the press release did say minus
and
expenses.
And how long ago did you do that?
Two years ago. Not long.
AC unit in?
$35,000 AC unit.
And do you have a depreciation schedule on it at all?
We do.
It's 3 years old, and it's now not worth $30,000. It's worth
$20,000. I'm happy to do the depreciation schedule, because we were capturing depreciation on it. Something to consider.
Okay.
Without objection, we'll do that. Any other matters from commissioners? Without any, we'll go into item number 7, which is executive session. The board will now meet at 2:39 in executive session to discuss the following issues. Item number 7A is confidential memorandum DDT 9517 regarding opioid lawsuit under ORS 192.6602F and H. Item number B, confidential memo to BCC DDT 2. No, we'll do yours first. 9-19-17 construction excise tax under ORS 192.6602F and ORS 40.225. It's a new one. Item number C is Mercy Flight's termination of contract with AMR. We have our interim deputy director of public health.
Interim director.
Interim director. Not deputy director, director. And that one's going to be addressed under ORS 192.6028.
That's the second commissioner that says me being a deputy.